Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As always, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And say it with me, Mother, it is going to be a great word this morning.
Amen.
I will be coming to you with the Old Testament today, Isaiah 61 and 62. Mother will be back with 115th Psalm, verses 9 through 13, Proverbs 26, verses 24 to 26. And Mother's about to put on the full armor of God in Ephesians 6, the whole chapter 1 through 18. And then on Sunday, we will be starting a new book. We will be in Philippians, and y'all know it's going to be New Testament Sunday, and I'm excited. We got a lot of word this morning, and it is, say it with me, a great word. Yes, Lord. Mother, good morning. How are you this wonderful morning?
I'm great. I'm good. I'm blessed of the Lord. Highly favored.
Hey. Amen. Blessed, good, and highly favored. That's what I'm talking about. And I pray, and we pray, that so are you, that you are thankful, you are grateful, you are blessed, you are highly favored by God. For this is God's day. He made it. He woke you up. Say thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, here it is cool and rainy, but it's still a new day. All I can say is I was in bed early last night and slept real good. I believe that I called myself watching the celebrity game shows last night, because I love Jeopardy. I really love Jeopardy. And so last night, all the shows that I really like that don't have time to watch anymore is Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and the $100,000 Pyramid. And I watched all of them a little bit anyway last night, but mostly they watched for me. So, because I was knocked out. I know that when I went to sleep, this young lady had just won $50,000 on the Pyramid. Whether she won $150,000, only God knows, because I was gone. By then, that was like 9:30. I was asleep, and was sleeping off and on through all the shows. But it was nice. It was good to just have a night without any drama, just good, wholesome fun. You know, I love an educational. Game shows are educational. And so it was really, really nice just to have that calmness. You know, so many times we get so busy that we don't have time to just have calmness. So very grateful for that. Mother, wow, we got some word today. We got some serious word today. And I'm so excited to read and to just talk about how good God is. And for those out there who have been anointed, who have been appointed to teach, to preach, to evangelize, whatever your calling is, I pray that you are walking in it. But God has chosen each of us for a time like this. We are going through some turbulence. We're going through some stuff. As I spoke about it on Monday when we were coming back from Phoenix, we were going through some serious turbulence. I'm just grateful that the guy that was sitting next to me didn't want to look out, because my understanding, it was pitch black. Sudden, the captain came on and said, I need everybody to put on your seatbelts, they were giving out like the little drinks and cookies. And they said, he told them to put the cart up and to sit, and for everybody on the plane to be buckled up, and nobody was to get up. and you can feel the plane going up and the plane going down. You can feel the turbulence. And what did people of God do? We prayed. We prayed. I could feel the presence of God on that plane because folks were praying. And I don't know who all were praying. I know I was praying, and the three women that I was with were praying. And my pastor was in the back of the plane. God put her in the back of the plane. And I'm sure, and I know because I talked to her about it, she was praying from the back for the whole plane, from the back to the front. And there were so those of us that were in the middle praying. You know, God knows where to put his people. And I believe we were put on that plane to pray at home. And so I can't do nothing more than say thank you, Lord, for bringing us home safely. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us home safely. So, Mother Valerie, if you don't mind, pray us in this morning just to tell God thank you. Thank you, Lord, for another day.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we just want to thank and praise you that the pastors made it home safely. You know exactly where they're supposed to be, one in the back, some in the middle, some in the front. Thank you, God. Thank you for the presence of the Lord was with them. God is always with them because you are in them. You're in them. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for the dawn of another day. It's getting brighter and brighter. And we appreciate you. We do.
Yes, Lord.
We do. Can't say thank you enough. Hallelujah is the highest praise, and we give you the highest praise. And help us, God, with the word today. Let the word go forth the way you want it to go forth. And we just thank you. We praise your name. We glorify your name. Thank you for bringing our pastors back home safely, God. We love you, God. We love you because you first loved us, and we are the children of the Most High God. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for being our Redeemer, for being our Savior, for being everything that we need, God. You know everything before we do. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Woo! Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm just in a thanking spirit this morning, Mother. And the Word of God says, get the Bible first and foremost, friendly. Get your Bible. This is Bible study. I'm coming out of New King James mainly because that's what God gave me to read, because he wants me to be able to explain it thoroughly. And King James throws in some thems and thous and these that it sometimes confuses the word. And God wants the word to be plain and clear for everyone that listens. Because I may understand King James, and Mother may understand King James. Someone who is not used to listening to or reading the word of God may be confused with King James. So God said New King James is just like King James, except for it explains it a little crisper without the thems and the thous. So let's get started. This is the spirit, and this is my testimony. This is my testimony. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, because I've been there. I've been one. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Worked in the prison system. Retired from the prison system. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. Been there. Done that. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins They shall rise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruins. They shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servant of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. Can I say it again? For I, the Lord, love justice. God loves justice. We are complaining and having his fit because God is bringing folks that have done wrong to justice. When did right become wrong and wrong become right? For God to give us spirits of discernment to see wrong as wrong and right as right. For God is in charge of everything. He said, I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct the work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, then that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul, can I say it again? My soul shall be joyful in my God. I got to say it one more time, Mother. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Praise the Lord, somebody. Thank God this morning. And as the word of God says in a life lesson for Isaiah 61:1, the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. And as Dr. Stanley tells us, Jesus began his public ministry by returning to his boyhood synagogue in Nazareth and delivering a short sermon based on this passage. Luke 4, he told the astonished crowd that he fulfilled this scripture. And we're going to go over there real, real quick to Luke 4. And I'm coming out of the NIV for that at verse 16. And it says this, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Jesus, you know, understand, everybody couldn't read back in them days, but Jesus was educated. But still don't get that. He had to have been educated to read the word of God. And it says that there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And they, of course, it's Isaiah in there. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Ooh, what a word. Jesus is speaking to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he gave it again to the minister, set down in the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue, were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. Again, he was rejected by those that lived in Nazareth. They didn't like the fact that he had the gall to say he was the Son of God. But we know who he was. Even his own siblings, Jude and James, didn't believe that he was the Son of God until he had died and rose again. Then they understood. And James, whoo, when we get to the book of James, just get ready. Because James broke it down and made it plain. And so did Jude. They didn't play. His brothers didn't play. Because understand, they were still raised by the same parents. They were still raised by Mary. They were still raised by Joseph. So they didn't play. Them parents knew the Lord. They had been anointed and appointed by God to bring in his son, to bring his son into the world. What a mighty couple they were. As they like to call them these days, Mother, they were a power couple. They were both one visited by angels, one visited by the Holy Spirit to conceive a part of God. Come on now. Isaiah chapter 62. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called, excuse me, by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate. But you shall be called Hezbollah, and your land Beulah. You know, we go and look up this word. You know, because sometimes a word is important, but we know Beulah is beautiful. Beautiful land. And when you look up the word Beulah, a name applied to the land of Israel or Jerusalem, possibly as denoting their future prosperity. And then it goes on, land of Beulah, full land in which the pilgrims await the call to the celestial city. And we all want to go to the celestial city one day. We all want to come back to the beautiful land, to the beautiful land of God. And when we look up the word Hephzibah, it says the wife of Hezekiah and the mother of Manasseh, a name applied to Jerusalem, possibly as denoting the prophesied restoration to the Jews after the captivity. And so God is saying, it's time to go home. That's what it really is, it's amounting to. It's time to go home. God wants us to go home. God wants us to be a part of his beautiful land. Hallelujah. And it says this as we continue. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. As a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who made mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him to rest. He tells, he establishes, and he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigners shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. but those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the Lord. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the people. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world. Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people. Mother, we want to be called the holy people. Hallelujah. The holy people of God, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called, brought out, a city not forsaken. Oh, hallelujah. We want to be part of the holy city. We want to be part of the holy people. We want to be redeemed of the Lord. I am redeemed. Hallelujah. And in Isaiah 62:11, your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him. Jesus is our salvation, and he is coming again to judge his followers. And behold, he says, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works. And you can find that in Revelation 22:12. And again, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works. Mama can't take you to heaven. Daddy can't take you to heaven. Your little baby sister, your older sister, your cousin, your Uncle Frank, nobody can take you to heaven. Only one that's going to get you there is to redeem yourself of the Lord. We got to learn how to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for the mess that I've created in my life. We want to blame God for everything that goes wrong in our life. We can't blame God. We got to do some self-evaluating. And when we self-evaluate, we understand and realize a lot of the situations are of our own making. Don't blame God for your trials. Look at yourself. Come on now. I'm just being honest. We got to do self-evaluating. But as we go forth, Mother, I turn it over to you. Ooh, Lord. Can we say
amen
that word this morning? Thank you.
Amen. I'm coming out of Psalms 115:9-13. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He said, lean not into your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, and he will make your path clear. Trust in the Lord. Don't go with what you understand. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 26:24-26. He who hates the disguise with his lips lays up deceit within himself. When he speak kindly, do not believe him. There are 7 abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. When you honor your father and your mother, God sees that. And he lets you have it well with you and you live long on the earth. So do what the Bible says do. And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in training and I'm on a mission of the Lord. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service, as men please us, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. When you want to be most like Jesus, serve others. Do good to others. And that's when you're being most like the Lord. You masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. God do good to the Jew. God do good to the Gentile. And you know what? He reigns. He reigns on the just and unjust. You know, that's amazing. He reigns on everybody with kindness, drawing the unjust to him. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done, all stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints and for me. Put on the whole armor of God, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you may also know my affairs and how I'm doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, that he may comfort your heart. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And I like what he's saying, who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. A lot of times people are preaching and teaching for the wrong reason. We don't all do the same thing for the same reason. Some preach and teach for money. They do. And that's why he said, with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And some we know are sincere, like Paul, Pastor Bridget, Pastor Jesse. They are sincere. They're preaching the gospel in sincerity with all their heart, trying to help people to be saved, trying to do the works of Jesus, because that's what we are left here to do. We're left here to do the work of the Lord. He died in our place so that he may live through us, and in living through us, he tells us, if we will listen, what to do, how to live this life. How to live this life. Jesus was man and Jesus was God. His flesh hurt just like our flesh hurt. That's why he said he understands exactly what we're going through. Because he was man. He was truly man. When they nailed him to the cross, that flesh was hurting. He said, my God, my God, if you could take this cup away from me, but not as I will, but let your will be done. And he repeated it three different times. That flesh did not want to be crucified. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is always weak. Take it away. But then he went. He went to the cross. He sacrificed his life. He was guiltless. Had sin, had done no sin. You know, that's something. When you think about somebody that had done nothing wrong. And it happens all the time, even in this day and age. People go to jail for doing nothing. They mix them up with other people. I thought you did this. You look like a person that did this, the bad and the other. And they are guiltless. And they put them in jail, just like Mandela. He went to jail for 30 years and then became the president of an African country. People go to jail all the time for something that they didn't do. They didn't do anything. They were like Jesus. Guiltless. Didn't do nothing. A lot of times, after they don't spend 10, 15, 20 years in jail, they find out, oh, my Lord, these people are innocent. And, you know, they try to repay them with money. And if you don't do like Jesus, my God, if you don't forgive, you will be so bitter. And the bitterness will eat you up. It don't help you. You have to forgive, and I mean truly forgive from the heart. That's why the Bible says when somebody does something evil and dirty to you, it's in your best interest, not in theirs, in your best interest to forgive. I mean really truly throw it out of your heart and forgive them the way the Bible says to do, because they don't care whether you forgive them or not. It don't matter to them. It will eat you completely up. If you don't forgive, life lesson, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. None of us can long survive, let alone prosper, without the sincere prayers of others offered on our behalf. A lot of times when you are sick and in the hospital, and sometimes you can't even pray, you just mumble. And that's when your prayer partner steps in and pray you through, and know exactly how to pray you through. You should have a prayer partner, a pastor that will pray, somebody that can get a prayer through. Because when you're sick and don't feel good, all you can do is just mumble, and they can pray you through. God has designed the Christian life as a community event, not as a solo endeavor. If we are to be together, to have unity, to carry each other's burdens, and I don't know what you're going through unless you tell me. You have to tell me so that I can pray for you. That's why a lot of times at the altar when people tell you something, you ask God what to say to that individual, not speak your own words. Be careful, very careful, that you don't speak your own words. There's altar etiquette that you don't go and talk about what the people ask you to pray about. No, that's
right.
Between them and God. And you have to be careful that you can't be a gossiper. You know, so-and-so come up and got prayer for this, that, and the other. You know, child, I didn't know that was her problem. No, have to be careful. I heard one of the pastors, one of the main man pastors, that he used to talk about everything that people counseled him with. He used to go and tell other people. And he said he didn't know no better. Him and his wife both used to do it. You know, you tell me something in private, I would go tell somebody else and say, hey, you know, don't tell nobody. And then that person would go tell the person, hey, don't tell nobody. Until everybody in the church knew that he didn't know no better. He was young. He said, but God got a hold of him and his wife, and when that happened, he stopped that business, kept his mouth shut. Because when you speak to somebody, you know, sometimes when you take it to the altar, you're taking it to God, and sometimes you need a word from God, and these people are speaking the word of God. So you want that stuff to be private, not for them to go tell other folks. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. That's what we're talking about today. Put on the whole armor of God, all of it, that you may be able to stand the fiery darts of the devil. Put on the whole armor, breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God. Throughout the Bible, the Lord promised that he will generously reward his children for whatever good they do, no matter how small, how insignificant it may seem. Faithful service yields staggering blessings. Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in the power of your might. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. The only way to really be strong is to depend upon the unlimited power of God. We draw on his strength by faith, and faith is only one thing. You know what faith is? One thing only. Believing in Almighty God, knowing and believing that he can. I know that he can. It says, what if he don't? But I know that he can. I know that he can. Paul and Silas was in jail singing. And they had been locked up, bound up, tied up, and they were singing. They started singing praises unto God Almighty. And you know, that jail began to shake. And they were unloosed from being tied up and locked up in jail. They were loose because they started singing praises to God, and the jailers heard that. The other jailers heard them singing praises unto God. You know, I think when you are being afflicted with something, it might be the hardest time, but those are going to be your blessed times. If you can think and remember, sing praises unto God upon your bed of affliction. Just start praising him, praising him. Praising him. Give God praise. We draw on his strength by faith, asking him to supply us with the resources we lack so that we might be strong for him. It said, be strong in the Lord. Power of his might. Now that's beautiful because God is a mighty God. He's a strong God. Is there anything too hard for God? No. Nothing. I mean, God can do any and everything. There's nothing too hard for God. You know, it might seem too hard for us. And a lot of things really, really is too hard for us. But if we would just think as children of God, turn it over to God. Take it to the altar. They tell you all the time, take it to the altar and leave it there. Don't pick it back up. Take it to the altar and leave it there. A lot of times we go to the altar and we pray and we ask God, God, would you help me? Oh, God, I love you. I thank you, God, for your help. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you're going to do and have done. And then you know what we do? We take it right back up and take it to the throne. We took it to the throne, but we didn't leave it there. We picked it right back up. Yes, we did. We picked it back up, and then we took it. We took it back to the phone. That's what we do sometimes. And you know what? We don't mean to do that, but we do that. We do it a lot of different times. Life lessons, dress for the battle. We start our day by dressing properly for the weather. And today is going to, well, they say today, Pastor said today it's already raining and cool. So we dress properly for the weather or an activity. But many believers leave the house unprepared. They fail to arm themselves for spiritual warfare. Our first prayer before rising should include step-by-step application of God's armor. And that's what we're talking about. Put on the whole armor of God so we'd be able to stand. And having done all, you should just stand. First, we strap on the belt of truth, a leather apron, protect the Roman soldiers, abdomen. Our protective girdle is the truth of who we are in Christ, saints with supernatural power from God, indwelling spirit. You know, we do have supernatural power, and a lot of times we don't use it.
That's so true.
You know, they say a lot of times when a mother sees a child drowning and the mother can't even swim, and you know what? I know that this is true because I saved a man's life in California. Now, he was out there drowning. I can't swim. And do you know I jumped in the water and got the man out of the water? I don't know how that happened. I don't. So it's God that's in us. And say when a mother sees a child drowning, and she can't swim, and that's her baby out there drowning, she will jump in the water. A lot of times if you see your own child suffering and you're going to try to do something about it, you're going to die trying, but most likely you're going to put on supernatural powers of love, and you're going to come through, and you're going to wonder later on, well, how did that happen? It happened because you had the indwelling power from God, a supernatural power from God, indwelling spirit. It makes the breastplate deflect arrows. A difficult situation arises. We can repel the temptation to live by emotion, whether anger, fear, dissatisfaction, and respond with a right spirit instead. When people do something to you, respond with a right spirit. Sometimes if you just talk softly, when they are angry, raising their voice, screaming at you. And if you just lower your voice and talk softly, you'll be surprised that will help. Because they will say what you talk. It helps. Mm-hmm. Just talk quiet to them and don't get angry. Just talk softly. And it reflects. It helps. The sandals of peace helps us to stand firm. Roman battle sandals usually had thick, spiked soles so that the soldier could anchor himself in the dirt. Regardless of the fiery enemies buffering us, we can remain firmly planted in God's peaceful way. Peace on earth, goodwill to man. You know, we have that in us. We have it inside of us. All we have to do is use it. But, a lot of times instead of using it, we get upset because they are upset. And if we get upset, they're going to get more angrier. We have all of this. I mean, we don't go to church to learn about God and then don't use it. It's a hospital, a learning school. We go there. We go there on a Sunday. We go there sometime on a Tuesday. We go on a Thursday. And if we have an event, we might go on a Friday. Well, what are we going for? What are we going for? We're going to learn about God. So we know how to handle people in the world. It's a learning school. It's a hospital. It's a teaching institution to teach us how to live God's life. That's what we go for. At least that's what I'm going for. I'm going to learn how to walk in the Spirit. It's a table of life, love, joy, and peace. Well, we have to live by that love. Love one another. Love other people. Love angry people. Love the hell out of them. And when you do that, when you love on them, sometimes they can't understand. They can be mean to you. You're good to them. Good to them. Good to them. And they can't understand why. They really can't. The world can't understand you. Because the world was not meant to understand you. They didn't understand Jesus, why he did good and got evil, always doing good. And what did they try to do? They tried to stone him to death. World can't understand you. If it couldn't understand our master, why do you think he can understand you? World cannot understand you. So continue to do good, saints. Continue to do good. You know, we're the only people that are holding back all the evil in the world. If it wasn't for the saints, this would be Sodom and Gomorrah. We're the ones that are standing up, holding back all of this evil. I mean, people would be shooting people, road rage would be some of everything going on. But we're holding back the evil. And then one day, after we are raptured out of here, it's going to be hell on earth. Unadulterated hell on earth. And I thank God that the saints will be taken up. We're going to be caught up. And don't say raptured in the Bible. It says caught up. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the sky. And my brother always tell me, well, that's just a fairy tale. Now, yeah, fairy tale, all right. You keep thinking it's a fairy tale, and you will be left behind. When God says something in the Word, it's going to come to pass. It has to come to pass because look who's speaking it. It's God. We're all going to be caught up in the blinking. You blink your eye, just blink your eye, and we're going to be caught up that fast. We're out of here. We're going to be gone. And then it's going to be hell, an adulterated hell on earth. So I'm telling everybody and everybody, don't get left behind. Don't get left behind. Because if you listen or look at any of the movies called Left Behind, they show you that the mark of the beast, which is 666, and you can't buy food, that you're going to do any and everything to get that food. You're going to shoot, steal, kill. You might even cook one of your own children. You're going to do everything to try to eat. Because when your stomach starts growling and you can't get a hold of anything to satisfy that belly, people that don't know the Bible don't know that there's going to be 144,000 Jews preaching, telling you don't take the mark of the beast, that you will take the mark of the beast in order to satisfy your children or satisfy your stomach. You're going to do it because you don't know no better. But if you listen, even in those days, even if you're left behind, God is so merciful. God is so kind. You still can be saved if you know the word. But the Bible will be gone. You're going to have to know the word. And there's going to be people teaching, still teaching the word. 144,000 will still be teaching that word. If you listen, you still don't have to go to hell. You still can reign with the Lord. You still can be with Jesus. And, you know, that's what we're striving to do, is to be with the Lord. So the Lord can say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. They say, the Bible says, every single thing that you do, whether good or bad, you won't be judged for whether you come into heaven, but you're going to be judged on whether you're going to get a crown. And said, Lord, I want, you know, when I was 16 years old, I was in the spirit. And I'm just saying it's the Lord's day because all the days are the Lord's day. And you know what? I saw the streets of gold. I said, oh, wow. Look at these streets. I was saved when I was 16 and I went back out in the world. But the Lord brought me through. I mean, I was truly and beautifully saved at the age of 16, and I did go to heaven. I did see the streets of gold. I sat at Jesus' feet. I'll never forget. And people ask me all the time, what did the Lord look like? And I wasn't afraid, fearful, but I was right at his knees, and I would not look at his face. I mean, the streets of gold are truly what we call gold. Truly gold. I mean, I spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance, that the church had to wrap me up in the blanket I mean, I was going on and on. It was 12 o'clock at night. The church wanted to close. They wrapped me up in a blanket and took me home to my mom. And I was still in the spirit. I mean, God was just, whew, what a day. I don't think I'll ever forget that. The shield of faith, that's believing God, is no tiny round piece of armor. It is door-sized equipment representing Christ's protection against anything Satan throws. Faith brought us salvation, the point at which we exchange our old thought patterns for new ways of thinking. And you know what? We have to be careful the way we think. It's the battlefield of the mind. And when you see yourself thinking wrong, correct it. Ask God to forgive you. Consequently, with Christ's helmet, we put on the mind of Christ, which gives us discernment, wisdom. Finally, we take up the sword of the Spirit so that we can combat Satan's lies with spiritual truth, knowing precisely what we will face each day. The Lord has graciously provided the perfect equipment needed for our challenges. Always be sure to dress for battle. Put on the whole armor of God that we have discernment. When people come up and tell us any old lie, ask God to help you to discern what the truth is. Because people will tell you anything to get your money, anything to get your sympathy. And people will say just crazy stuff to you. And you know what? If you don't have discernment, you'll be believing it, you'll be helping them, and you'll be believing that stuff because it sounds sincere. And I'll tell you to put on the whole armor of God. Put on truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the whole armor of God, and you'll be able to discern. People bring you up garbage. You won't believe it. You might listen, but you won't believe that because it won't even sound true to you. God will speak to your spirit in that little still voice if we will listen. If we will listen. But we do have to be still, be quiet, and listen. Listen. So God is just a good God. He's good all the time. And like Tribe Triplet said, he is good. He's good. I love that song. He is good. Hallelujah. He is good. I can't sing like Pastor Bridget. I do Baptist singing, but God is good. And I love listening to the praises, yes, the songs of other people. God is good. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. He's
Amen.
Good.
God is good. Yes, he is. And he wants us to have joy. And, you know, I went to my prayer book for this fifth day of October. And a shout out to baby Jeremiah. He just turned six today. He is Evangelist Shannon, one of her 14. No, let me get that wrong. She's got, I ain't going to call it, but he's one of the many grandchildren. Like 30 grandkids, you know, when they say a vine, she got a serious vine. Look at God. But it says this, and so happy birthday to Jeremiah. I got a chance to talk to him this morning before the show because he's on Indiana time, so he's an hour ahead of us, and he was on his way to school, but not cheerfully. But this is what the Word of God says. Joy is medicine. You know, we talk about the armor of God, and Mother was talking about our church where we have love, peace, and joy. It says a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul, but the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression, Proverbs 17 and 22. And I can say I was there. God knows I went through this, sick and depressed. Now, as they say, just waking up from it, you know, thanking God that he gave me a sabbatical, a time to rest and a time to just see the beauty of God. Thanking God for my trip to Arizona. It helped to my spirit. And it says, great God, you are the hope of every longing heart. Just when I thought the dark night of my soul would never end, the dawn of your love broke through. I am filled with courage as you come through with your mercy again. You are the joy that springs up from deep within. When the relief gives way, I can feel the bubbling of the light that has had all its fears elevated. There is pure pleasure in knowing you. You fight every battle that wages over my soul. You will not let my heart be crushed completely. You are my Savior, healer, and faithful friend. Thank you for your constant grace, consistent grace that never runs out. Though I struggle to stay convinced of your support, your loyal love never wavers. In the moment, I can see that now. My heart is refreshed and encouraged. Even my body feels better. You are so good, Lord. Thank you. And I just say to you this morning, as we have put on the full armor of God, we have been anointed. We have been blessed. God has watched over us in our coming in and our going out. And I love what the under 15 Psalm said. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. You know, God doesn't play favorites. He loves us all just the same. And we got to keep God first in whatever we're doing. And before we get out of here, a word from Sister Carolyn, who has, and I will say it, some beautiful, beautiful. He is they are the cutest little girls you could ever see. As Mother Valerie says, they don't look real. They look like little balls. And that's because they're beautiful angel babies sent from God for their parents and grandparents. They are beautiful. And so I was so blessed to get a beautiful picture and thankful that, you know, everything is well. And our word for this morning is good morning. Never hold on to anything tighter than you're holding on to God. Have a triumphant Thursday, and I speak this. When you hold on to something more than you hold on to God, you better believe that something is going to be gone. God is not going to let you have anything over him. Keep trusting God. Never put anything or anybody over God. Excuse me, y'all, to say it again. Never put anything or anybody over God. And a scripture I received this morning, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. We got to understand God is in charge. He has called us for such a time as this. And I pray over all of you this morning. As Mother Valerie and I depart, may the Lord God watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in Jesus' precious and holy name. May he bless you. May he cover you. May he cover you with all the armor of God. Keep God first and watch him work in your life, for he is good. His divine power has given us all things, as the word says, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. I pray over you. We pray over you, that God will watch over you and bless you today and forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother, it is a wrap. I got to go to work.
Amen.
You all, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. And remember, the Spirit of the Lord is upon all of us. He has anointed us to preach. Don't worry about what anybody says. Do what God says, and have a blessed day. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap, my friend.